Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
Hi, welcome to a special Mardi Gras edition of Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by you, the fan. Andrew, the donation drive for Drunk Saints History is over. We fell just a little bit short, but don't worry, people. You're still going to get 10 glorious episodes of Saints Drunk History starting in March. We're going to start taping them this weekend. You're going to get 10 episodes of that, and you're going to get one episode extra of like a draft preview or a live draft show, whatever. So you're going to get 11 episodes. Thanks, everybody, for donating. We fell 12 donations short. You can still get 10 episodes. It's going to be fun. Andrew, we got topics that are just going to kick ass. We got Mora Rants. We got Bobby Hebert. We're going to do like Saints player history for Drunk Saints. We're going to do Aaron Brooks. We're going to do Ricky Jackson. It's going to be awesome. So thanks, everybody, for donating. Look forward to that in March. Andrew, we're in the doldrums now, baby. It's a long slog to March 14th. You know what I'm saying? Till free agency starts, right?
You know, it's kind of gone faster for me just because I'm not writing every day.
Oh, and yeah.
I remember it was miserable when I would write every day because just the, you know, you run out of content and you start to struggle for things, you know, ideas to write about. And then, you know, the days just seem to go slower and slower in terms of Saints news. Whereas like, if I don't hear Saints news for 4 days, I'm not really sweating it because I don't need to like unearth some topic.
Yeah. You're like, whatever. That's what people always ask me, like, when the football season ends, why don't you write for WWL? I'm like, cause I'm the Saints writer and I write jokes, and between the Super Bowl and free agency, unless people are getting fired or arrested, there ain't no news, buddy. You know?
Yeah.
But
we work hard during the season. I mean, look, we still do this once a week, but during the season, I mean, you know, there's a lot of time and effort that goes into it, and so it's nice to kind of check out a little bit.
Yeah, and the one good thing for the one thing that was awesome, this Alvin Kamara and Marshawn Lattimore, they wrote an Endymion, and it was just phenomenal. They were getting off the float. Kamara was drinking wine out of a box.
Box of fun.
It was just amazing. And they had an ESPN reporter, Kat Terrell, who used to be a Saints beat person. She's there. She's actually the Bengals blogger for ESPN now. They sent her down to New Orleans to cover it, so she's going to write an article on it. Maybe she hasn't. I hadn't seen it. But that was just – I mean, it was – Andrew, it was awesome. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like, the pictures of it were phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, a picture with him, Mickey Loomis and them too. I wonder if Mickey Loomis is like, guys, just remember that they have the number that you can call for the NFL Players Association. They'll get you home. Have the number. Like, he's like a concerned, like he's like a concerned dad.
Don't be Willie Snead.
Don't be Willie Snead, baby. So that was awesome. Mardi Gras, like, me and you are not in New Orleans, so it's weird. It's like Saints Twitter and Louisiana Twitter is just nothing but people just Mardi Gras stuff, and the rest of us in the world are just working, which is the pits. So yeah, as we go to
I feel like this year was harder than usual, like just seeing them. Like I still consider New Orleans home. I miss being home this year more than ever. I think it's because my kids are getting older and they've never experienced it.
They're in the prime. You know? Like I'm starting to do that way too. My kid's not in the prime Mardi Gras years because he's two. I think you got to be like about five or six to be like prime.
Yeah, I mean, like Cullen would go nuts, man, if he saw that now.
Nighttime parades for kids, they just are mesmerized by the lights and the, you know, because Endymion and Bacchus and Orpheus, like they have better quality, let's be real, they have better quality of like floats right?
No doubt.
And so those just kids are just mesmerized by like the giant dinosaurs and just the themes that they always have. So that's where you start getting into it. So when we try to find topics for this off-season thing, you know, we kick it around, and sometimes I find a good one, and sometimes Andrew hit on just a phenomenal one for this week, and Andrew, you called it keep or lowball, and what we're going to do is we're going to go through all the Saints unrestricted free agents, or most of them, the ones that count, really, and we're going to say, should they keep them, should they lowball them, or should they let them leave? So, it's the off season. What do you want, people? We got topics. So I guess we'll start with the main one, Drew Brees. And I guess the question is not like, are they going to keep him or are they going to lowball him? But I guess, Andrew, the question is like, what would be the things with Drew Brees where you'd be like, it's not going well? Like, what would be signs to you? Because they got to get it done, right? They got to get it done before they can't like let they can't like not sign Brees and do all their other free agents and then come back to Brees later, like in 2012, right? Like they got the dummy contract years, and it like the $18 million hit comes if he does not, if they don't extend him, $18 million hit on the cap comes first day of the league year, right? So they got to get it done.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, Ralph, I don't think there'll be a single moment where I'm worried until he signs with another team. I just think we've done this so many times. You know, he's made it clear he's coming back. He's made it clear he doesn't want to play anywhere else. And we've just seen Loomis kind of play this until the 11th hour too many times. It always gets done, so I'm not worried.
It'll get done. The free agency starts on the 14th, which is a Friday, correct? Right? And they can start.
Yes.
Teams can start talking to players, agents, like 3 days before, I think. The Drew Brees right. deal is going to get done on a Friday afternoon the week before.
Well, actually, the 14th. The 14th, you said? That's a Wednesday.
Okay. So the Drew Brees deal will get done the Friday before.
Well,
that's my prediction.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but his deal has to get done before then, or the dead money kicks in for next year.
He
correct?
Has to get it. Yeah. It has to be done, or the 18 minute.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, I think there is some urgency just in terms of from a timing perspective. You know, Loomis probably has a date on his calendar where, all right, I got 48 hours after this point to get serious about this contract to get it done. You know, and. I mean, this is one of his famous quotes. He says deadlines always bring negotiations to the table, or, you know, the sense of urgency comes from
deadlines make deals.
Yep. So, you know, and I could easily see it getting to that point. I just feel like no one's in any rush here.
Yeah. I mean, so the next guy that's really interesting is Vaccaro, because his market, I don't know, you know, because of his injury, because of his inconsistent play. I mean, and the Saints were shopped. I mean, after New England, man, they were, it was PFT, and the Saints were like shopping him supposedly. So I don't know what his market's going to be. I don't know how the Saints feel about him, you know? So what do you think they're going to do? Do you think they're going to keep him? Do you think they're going to lowball him, or they're going to let him walk?
I think he's a goner. You know, so first of all, the cap goes up every year. So what we know about contracts, I mean, you just have to assume every year the contracts are going to be a little bit higher and more ridiculous than you expect them to be. Someone is going to pay Vaccaro a lot of money, much like we couldn't believe the money that Malcolm Jenkins got from the Eagles. When he was a free agent. And I just think, you know, I really think Vaccaro is at a very similar place to where Jenkins was when he hit free agency that year.
Except
which
for
is
health,
to say that,
right? Because
that's fair. But I would still say that, you know, he didn't have an injury that was catastrophic to where people don't believe he's going to be fine to start the year. You know, so I just feel like if you look at Jenkins and what he did in his career wasn't that impressive, but he was a starter, and you know, he was a player that was kind
first
of ascending, first round pick, makes plays here and there. I mean, that basically describes Vaccaro to a T.
Yeah, and the thing is, in Philadelphia, they had a vision for Jenkins, where the Saints were kind of like, we play him at corner, we do this. Philadelphia clearly has always had, we're going to sign Malcolm Jenkins, we're going to pay him this money, and he's going to do these great things. Like, I could see a team, not that Kenny Vaccaro would become Malcolm Jenkins, but I could see a team looking at Vaccaro going, the Saints use him like this, but we're going to use him like this in the slot and do this, this, and this, and that's going to make him worth $8.5 million a year. So we're going to give him –
that's a great point.
We're going to give him 4 years, $35 million, I think he's going to get
paid. I think it could easily be more than that even, yeah. That's a great point. And I think the main thing about Vaccaro that's maybe different from Malcolm Jenkins is that Malcolm Jenkins just kind of had – he had some big plays, splash plays here and there, but for the most part, he was an inconsistent player for the Saints. Vaccaro, I would say, was inconsistent in a different way in that, he didn't really have the splash plays, but he had long stretches of excellent play. He wasn't like Malcolm Jenkins, who I would say for the Saints was always kind of meh and would surprise you with big time plays occasionally. Vaccaro, I would say, would go long stretches where he played very well, and then would kind of inexplicably fall off. Yeah. There's a nuance difference there. It's a little slightly different, but I think the main thing with Vaccaro, I mean, you look at his career and he's had two exceptional seasons and he's had two really bad ones and then one kind of mediocre one, but that throughout it all in 5 years, there's been injuries, there's been suspension, there's been benching. And I just think when you look at a 5-year period and you see so many ebbs and flows in a guy's career, this is it. The 5-year mark is when you invest big money in a player. This is where players make money. And Vaccaro's hit that stage where this is kind of his time to make money. And I just think it's too risky of an investment based on what you've seen from him in 5 years. Now, when he's nice, he's a nice player. And, I really like him. And, obviously I would keep him if I knew that the Saints were going to get his best level all the time. But we just don't know that.
Here's the thing. Look, there's a fair thing to say that if you're Mickey Loomis and you come off the season the Saints just had, and you look at the defense, and you're Loomis, you could say the clock is ticking, not necessarily on Lattimore, because he's still got 4 more years, and you could tag him. But you've got Marcus Williams. He's a second-round pick. His clock is really ticking. He's only got 3 years to a contract. You got I really like Onyemata. He's got 2 years to a contract. You got Von Bell. You got a lot of guys, Andrew, that the Saints are going to have to make decisions on. And here's the thing. If you pay Vaccaro, is it going to be somebody that you can't pay later on? So I just think that he's a goner because I think he's going to get paid. Now,
Here's the thing. Here's the thing with Vaccaro too. So you mentioned there's a lot of young good players on this team, and you're gonna have to save the money. You can't keep them all, right? So you're gonna have to save money for some of them, and some guys you just have to let walk. And when you look at the roster, I just think Von Bell offers at strong safety what Vaccaro does. And so, then you say, what does Vaccaro give this team that Von Bell doesn't? Well, maybe he has some slot coverage ability, but I just feel like you can spend less and get a slot cover guy.
Yeah.
To kind of make up for that. Or you spend a lot and you get a Butler, who gives you something different, but, better cover ability. And, I think at times having Vaccaro in the slot hurt the Saints.
Explain that.
Well, I just don't think he was as great in coverage. So, a lot of times Vaccaro's responsibility would be to cover Gronk or, it would be to cover, kind of tough assignments. And, I think he, for a safety, he was very good at covering the slot, but he wasn't as good as a good slot corner, Yeah, so he was kind of a hybrid player. I do think he got better at blitzing over the course of his career. Mm-hmm. And so that was an area in his game that he improved. But I think Von Bell's pretty good at that too. And, you know, clearly he was always better playing around the line of scrimmage. But I always just felt like Vaccaro was one of these hybrid players where Dennis Allen was like always having to figure him out. It wasn't like Vaccaro fitting his role on defense. It was more like Dennis Allen trying to figure out a role for him that, you know, played to his strengths. You know, so it always felt Vaccaro has always felt to me like a little bit of a square peg in this defense.
Yeah, I mean, so the next guy is the most interesting to me of all the Saints free agents, and that's Sano Calamete, because his market, Andrew, you could tell me on the second day of free agency, Arizona pays him 4 years, $34 million, and they're like, he's going to be our right tackle, or he's going to be our starting guard, and he's getting $15 million guaranteed, or he could not sign for 2 weeks and come back to the Saints for 3 years, $11 million. Like, I have no idea what his market is.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, he reminds me a little bit of Ronald Leary, who, you know, was a kind of a career backup. He started a handful of games, like played pretty well when he started, but, you know, wasn't kind of a clear
starter. He wasn't great in Denver either this
huh?
year. He wasn't great in Denver, I don't think, this year. They signed
him. Right. So, but, you know, he kind of surprised me in that he got a much smaller contract than I expected.
Yeah.
I mean, well, no, he ended up getting 4 years, $35 million.
Yeah,
actually.
No, he got
he got paid. So, I mean, I just don't think Calamete is any worse. I mean, he's started a handful of games. He's played well. I think, you know, maybe he makes a little bit less than that, but I think Calamete has earned the right to be paid as a starter in the NFL. And if it's 3 years, $24 million, I mean, maybe it's a little bit less than Leary, but I think he's going to get paid something like that, and someone's going to make him a starter.
Yeah.
And I just don't think the Saints have them. I mean, they have $31 million in cap space, but I just don't think that's the smart place to spend it.
Yeah,
when you could probably get Larrivius again for like 1 year, $1 million, you know, and you can maybe develop a couple guys. Like, I think Calamete is a goner.
Yeah, I don't. My prediction for him is four years, $30 million. Which is like $7.5 million a year.
I mean, it's too bad. I love the guy. I would love to keep him, but like Andres Pete and Warford are your guards, and the Saints can't be paying their a third guard that doesn't play.
Well,
yeah, I understand guys get injured and he will play, but I'm just saying, like, you can't pay your third guard that much money.
Yeah, and you can't play your third guard sort of Swiss Army knife sixth best lineman. $7 million a year, and the thing
is, but he totally deserves the money.
He's just going to get it from someone else,
you know?
I would say it's a 70% chance he gets paid $7+ million and is gone. But I still think it's like a 30% chance that he comes back and we're like, wow, no one wanted him. Like, it's not out of the realm of possibility, because I asked, like, they have cap guys. I forget his name. He's the over the cap guy, and he. A lot of times on the weekends, it'll be like 12 at night, and I'll be 1 in the morning, and I'll be waiting for my wife to get back from a wedding she's doing.
My wife.
And he'll be like, I'm drinking 2 beers, fire me cap questions. And he's usually like plugged into teams, because he does consulting work for teams, so he knows guys' markets. And I asked him about Calamete. He's like, I don't know. He's like, I don't know what teams. I know the Saints love him, but I don't know what other teams think of him. And he's going to be really – he's an interesting one. Another interesting one, Andrew, is Okafor, because Okafor was killing it for up until he blew out his Achilles against Washington. Like, he was a guy that if he would have finished the year, he was going to have 7-8 sacks maybe, right, and just killed it with the Saints on run defense. And he would be like the guy behind Breeze where you're like, they got to re-sign Okafor. They got to resign him. He's the bookend we've been wanting with Cam Jordan. But he blew out his Achilles. He's been injury-prone his whole career. So I think he's going to be back with the Saints on, like, maybe even less than what he made last year, or about the same. Like, no one's giving him money. Yeah. Like, no one's paying him.
Yeah, no, I think he's a low ball, you know, and it's too bad because he stays healthy all year and he gets a nice deal, probably with the Saints. But I think you lowball him, you bring him back to camp, and then we'll see how he's recovered from the injury. I mean, that's a tough one. So, you know, he may not be the same player. I think you have to bring him back, assuming that he's not going to work out and that you're going to need someone else to step up. So I don't think that's where you stop with the investment, but I think you lowball him and that should be enough to get him back.
Yeah, and I mean, I would like them to do sort of bring Okafor back and find another potential Okafor like he was in 2017. You know,
yeah,
find a guy like Okafor that's been nicked up, that maybe had one good year 3 or 4 years ago, that's been nicked up, and you say, hey, come here, we'll give you $3-4 million, an approve a deal, and you have Okafor, the new guy, Hendrickson.
What was the name of that linebacker they got from the Cowboys that ended up not being any good?
I can't even. I know who you're talking about. Victor Butler.
Victor Butler. Yeah. I remember. It reminds me of that year where they kind of had Victor Butler, Paris Harrelson, and Anthony Spencer. You know, they had kind of all three, and none of them were any good. But you know, sometimes you just get a bunch of guys like that, and you just hope one of them sticks.
One of them hits. You know?
Or you get lucky, and you know, AJ Klein, Manti Te'o, and Robertson are all pretty good.
Yeah, or decent enough. So these two, John Kuhn, he's 35. The Saints are one of the teams that use a fullback, and fullbacks are kind of dying out. I mean, I could see Kuhn back. You know.
Yeah, I mean, what's going to be interesting with him is they had Zach Line for the second half of the year, and you know, he seemed to be okay. So that would just be my question, which one they like better. And Kuhn's getting a little older, but I mean, I like Kuhn. I'd want him back.
Yeah, Tony McDaniel, defensive tackle. I don't see.
They just cut him, right?
Yeah, I don't see him.
Yeah,
I don't see him back. No. He's a guy that like he's on the speed dial if you're getting crushed by injuries, you know.
Yeah, I could see them maybe looking at him. Yeah,
Clay Harbor, tight end. He's older than I thought. He's 30. He's a Civil War veteran with a name like that. These are all low ball.
Tight end's interesting because you know they decided to at least for now keep Fleener. And you know, Hooman and Josh Hill, they have decent contracts, but you can also get out of those. Those are two guys.
Josh Hill's going to be back, I think, because he doesn't cost anything, and he plays special. Yeah. He plays special teams, and he was decent in the playoffs. So like, you can make like the Saints can look at Josh Hill and be like, he plays special teams, and he can be okay occasionally. If you have to play him, and that's enough to keep him on. To me, that's enough to keep him on the roster. You know.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you. So you know, who man may be more in jeopardy than the other two, they need to draft a guy at tight end. I mean, it's been a while since we've had a good, young, promising player at that position.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll get into free agency as you know. We've got a whole month to go before free agency hits, but I just look at the Saints receiver. Me and Andrew were talking about this today. I look at their receivers, and when I say receivers, I mean wide receivers and tight end. I look at it and I say, look, something happens to Michael Thomas, an injury, and then Ted Ginn regresses and turns back into pre-Saints Ted Ginn. Their receivers are fucked, and it's a problem. And I could see the Saints in their offseason plan and being like, we have got to add somebody, whether it's a receiver or a tight end or whatever, and that's where they go in free agency. And not necessarily that they sign a tight end necessarily, but they'll add a receiver and draft a tight end, or add a tight end in free agency and draft another receiver. Like they're going to do something wide receiver because it's fragile. It was fragile this past year when Willie Snead went and totally regressed, man. If they didn't have Kamara and Ingram rolling at running back, it would have been a struggle because they were a mess on third down because their receiving corps kind of stunk, you know, outside of Michael Thomas.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, I feel like Sean Payton has never gone out and gotten like the star receiver in free agency. You know, he's always kind of preferred either going the draft route, knowing mm-hmm. that Breeze can turn water into wine when it comes to receivers, or getting kind of like the old team player vet, you know, that has some skill but is, you know, not like a star receiver, yeah. so to speak. So, but I could see them getting some help in free agency.
I mean, the thing that's good for the Saints is slot receiver and free agency is they have a lot of guys. Like if Green Bay moved on from Randall Cobb, Amendola, like they have these guys, these like veteran guys that I think you can get on the cheap. Like you could take a flyer on, like if the Saints want to go that route. So they have some interesting names there in free agency. Whereas like at other spots that the Saints need like linebacker and defensive end, there's nothing there to get. Here's one that I thought was really interesting. I didn't think of it, Andrew, until I was reading Bill Barnwell, his like off season, like what every team should do in the off season. He did it by division. And you know, Philadelphia this past off season, they were like, Chase Daniel, we don't really like you. We're getting rid of you, and we're bringing in Nick Foles. And everybody's like, whatever. It's backup quarterback. Nick Foles ended up being the Super Bowl MVP. And I can tell you with 100% certainty, Chase Daniel wasn't going to do what Nick Foles did. Like, it just wasn't going to happen. So Chase Daniels is interesting. Do you think they'll keep him, lowball him, or let him walk?
I think they lowball him. I just think Chase Daniel has made enough in this league that
he made $5 million last year, $900,000 from the Saints, $4.1 from Philadelphia. He is a legend at the bank, dude.
I think that's kind of his going rate is, you know, maybe $4 million this year, but I just don't know if the Saints pay that. Like, I know they don't want to make a long-term commitment to him.
No.
And I just don't think they're paying him a one-year deal for $4 million. I just don't see him doing it. So maybe this is the year they draft a QB and roll with Taysom Hill as their second string.
Oh, my. You know, here's the thing with the Saints, and obviously we'll get more into the stuff. But
I mean, Sean Payton did make the statement. I mean, this is a direct quote from Troy Aikman. He said the guy is, quote, in the building.
Yeah.
The heir to Drew Brees is in the building.
Taysom Hill, he's older, but he's injury prone too, I think. But he's gonna be preseason superstar. If they give him snaps at quarterback in the preseason, like don't even try to pretend like we're not be going ape shit over that. Like that'll be glorious fun in August.
Oh yeah.
You know,
if he plays well in preseason, I mean, his stock, his fan stock is through the roof. I mean, jerseys are going to get purchased.
Yeah. The thing is with Baker Mayfield is people always ask me a percentage of the Saints draft and whatever. I can't do that, but I sort of equated it to like hurricane warning or watch. Like the Saints, they are at a trade watch if Baker Mayfield gets to 10. If he gets to 15, 16, it's a full-blown trade warning for him, I think, for the Saints. I think he's going to go top 5 or 6, so I don't think it'll be in play. But if it does, Andrew, you know, because once you get to 15, 16, the Saints can give a third and a fifth and get there to get to, you know, to get to 27 and 20 or 27 and 18. You know, they could do it. It's not like you have to mortgage the whole future. You know, like for Brandon Cooks, what did they move? They moved from 27 to 20 and it was a third round pick, right?
Yeah, no, that's right.
So, I mean, it becomes doable. And look, we'll argue about Mr. Mayfield all their draft because he's got a lot of issues, let's say. And, you know, just on that, speaking of the Saints, like, offseason, as we sort of done this free agent, man, you look at all the bullets the Saints dodged in the offseason. I mean, they were going to draft Reuben Foster. He, like, got pinched for domestic violence and a gun charge, I believe, this week. And that's just sheer luck.
And smoking pot, right?
And smoking pot. Like, that was just sheer luck. I mean, they were going to pick him at 32. He was on the phone, and it didn't work out because 49ers leapfrogged him and got ahead. But, you know, they dodged that. They didn't sign Malcolm Butler, and so they got – I don't know necessarily if they'd have signed Malcolm Butler, that they'd have drafted Lattimore at 10. I mean, just everything sort of came up roses for them in the offseason. It like, the more I look at it, Andrew, I'm just like, it's just, I'm just dumbfounded by it.
Yeah, I mean, I just remember us talking in the offseason, like, they need to hit on five things, and it's just, they're not going to hit on everything, and they kind of did.
Yeah, they hit on every fucking draft pick they had. I mean, even Muhammad is, I mean, he was a guy they drafted because they liked him so much, and he was a project. And I think he was a guy that they're like, you know what, we're gonna draft him and we're gonna cut him and we're gonna be able to sneak him on the practice squad. And he killed it in the preseason. And a dude in the preseason that gets three or four sacks, you can't sneak him through waivers. So they had to keep him on the roster, right? But I guess to me, you know, as we play this. Low ball, let him walk. Is there anybody on this list that you would personally stretch for? Not necessarily that you would give him a going rate, but if you could get somewhere between like a contract where you have to say, okay, just we're not paying you that, or like a low ball, like kind of like a nice, maybe a little bit more than you want to pay him, but you do it because you want to keep him. Is there anybody on this list of the Saints free agents that you would do that for?
I would think about it with Vaccaro. You know, I just, again, you know, I talk about Fairley and losing him. And it's funny, like, I made the comment, like, you can't go backwards by losing your best player. You can't go forward by losing your best players. And the Saints did lose one of their best players on defense, and they still managed to go forward. So I guess I was wrong in a way, but you know, that statement makes me a little nervous, you know, in that losing Vaccaro, does this defense get worse? You know, that does make me fearful. So I guess, like, I could be tempted to keep him, but again, I just feel like this is the big investment now for him, and I don't think he has shown that he deserves it, you know, consistently enough for the Saints to do it. So I would say that he's maybe the one I think about. You know, Kelemete, again, I just don't think you can justify paying that to your sixth offensive lineman. So, you know, the next guy, I mean, Okafor is a guy I really want back. And so if he's one guy where maybe you spend a little bit more to make sure he's back and you're kind of doubling down on him recovering from a serious injury, that's me. I just think the Saints need an end opposite Cam Jordan so badly that I'm willing to hope.
Has a football player ruptured an Achilles and come back and been good or close to what they were?
Well, Cam Cleland came back from one and was pretty good until he ruptured the other one. So, but I remember him rupturing his first Achilles and being fine. Yeah, let's Google it. Let's see here. Achilles tendon tear recoveries. This will be good to research because DeMarcus Cousins is coming back from that too. Let's see.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Billy Joe Hulbert had it, but he never really was
good. No, he really wasn't recovered from it. Let's see.
It's good because the thing is with Billy Joe Hulbert, his mobility was kind of one of his things. Like, he never was a great passer, but he was really mobile and kind of gritty. But when he ruptures his Achilles, he wasn't mobile. And when you're a 54% completion guy and you're not mobile, that's just curtains for you. I mean, he'll be interesting. I mean, I could see the Saints doing something with him where they give him like $2 million, and it's like they give you another $2 million, and it's like reachable incentives, you know? for him.
All right, here's five. Oh, Michael Crabtree, did he?
He might have.
Crabtree?
I think he might have. That's a good one. He came back. He's gotten to be decent.
Yeah, he Crabtree tore his Achilles in 2013. And he's come back to be a good player. So here are some NBA players who tore their Achilles tendons. Elgin Baylor of the Lakers, who had a long career. Kobe Bryant tore his Achilles.
But he was old, and he wasn't close to what he was before. But he was already in decline when he did that.
Yeah.
Dominique Wilkins did it, but he had to go to Europe.
That was towards the end of his career, right?
Yeah, he did it.
Here we go. Dominique Wilkins, his pre-injury points per game was 26.2 points per game, and coming back it was 25.2.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
So, you know, he came back and played well. Wesley Matthews of the Trailblazers is another guy who has rebounded well from that.
Yeah, I mean, so it's positive, and the good news is he's 26. So. You know what I'm saying? Like if he was 28, 29, 30.
Okafor is?
Yeah, he's 26.
He's still so pretty young. Yeah.
So, I mean, I want Okafor back just because I just think, like, to me, the more I watch these games and watching the Super Bowl, the thing that struck me is, like, get me all the pass rushers, defensive linemen you can give me, and give me all the corners. Like, you can never have enough of them because – the same thing we just said with Calumet, like, you can't pay your sixth offensive lineman that there's a decent chance if you're healthy on offensive line, he's not going to play like 50% of the plays. Like, yeah, he did this year, but like if the Saints had the Atlanta Falcons' health for offensive line when they went to the Super Bowl and all five guys start, you got a $7 million dude that is in your jumbo package. Like, you can't allocate resources like that. But, like, a pass rusher or a corner, you know, they're all going to play, dude. Because you got to play four and five corners all the time. You rotate defensive linemen. So, to me, like, bring back Okafor, draft another dude, sign another dude. Like, you can never have enough of those. One, because they always play. And that's even if there's not injuries. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm with you.
You know, and so I would be fine with Okafor. He'll be a guy like he's gonna be a while. Like it'll be a week or two in before he gets done. But you know, I guess you know we were talking about this as you, and then we'll get out of here. As you look at this off season, Andrew, for the Saints, and you try to like prioritize like what they're gonna do. The thing is that I'm trying to figure out this year is like because last year I feel like it was right in front of our face and we just missed it with Ted Ginn and Klein. Like the Saints, you know, even Josh Norman, who they didn't get, right? Like, it was all Carolina. But they, like, Sean Payton, and they always lean to these free agent guys that they have played against and they know, you know? So that's what I'm trying to identify. Like, what are guys that aren't necessarily names, but are guys that, like, the Saints know and they're connected with and they have a history with? Because that's kind of where they sort of go on these things, you know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, guys I would keep an eye on are just people that Dan Campbell worked with in Miami, you know, so Dolphins players that maybe Campbell likes. That's a guy that definitely has Sean Payton's ear. You know, I would point to him as maybe being the guy that is most recently coached for another team. I don't know if you can think of anyone else on the staff that, you know, would have Sean Payton's ear. I mean, Aaron Glenn really started with the Saints. Dennis Allen's been with the Saints for a while now.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's anyone else.
No, I mean, I the thing is that I could think of players is like Tom Johnson from Minnesota, who's a defensive tackle. He's old, but he played with the Saints for a time. Like, if the Saints wanted to do like a 1 or 2 year deal with him,
yeah, I could see that.
Or like the Bear, like the Bears, if they move on from the defensive back Marcus Cooper, like the Saints were hard for him in free agency, and they just he signed with the Bears. So like, just guys like that. That the Saints have a history with. That's why Malcolm Butler comes to mind. And that's what I'm trying to, like, when I do my free agent previews, like, that's what I feel like as sort of this podcast. You know, we always try to do, like, what would we do? And what would the Saints, what do you think they're going to do? We always try to, what they think are going to do, like, with players and stuff. But we always sort of, like, even when we think of like what the Saints are gonna do, we think of the names that we kind of want them to get, right? So this year, I kind of want to like try to focus in on these names, because like when they signed Ted Ginn, I want to say you texted me, you were like, God, I can't believe I didn't see that, like, because we knew they were trading Brandon Cooks, right? And you're like, Ted Ginn, of course, like the dude who catches bombs but drops a bunch of passes, like, of course they would, like, he. Why didn't we see that? Ugh, you know? So that's what we're going to try to do this offseason. But that about wraps it up. Hey, thanks for hanging with us in the Happy Mardi Gras, everybody. But thanks for hanging with us. And we are pumped for Saints history. Thanks to everybody for donating. That'll kick up in March. And I have, like I said, we're going to give you 10 episodes. But I have some fantastic guest appearances of people that are lined up. I can't leak them yet, but it's just going to be phenomenal. And it's going to be, I think it's potentially going to be better than last year. And last year with the Ditka years and 2009 and Katrina, like, it was phenomenal. But this year is going to be even better. So thanks to everybody for donating, making that happen. So for Dave, who's at Beau Rivage or something in the Mardi Gras time. For Kevin, who's out and about in St. Louis. And for Andrew, until next week, the bar is closed.